God says, do good to them. Now, I want you to look at someone that's next to you and say, man, you're all right. Now, say this to them, even if you got to say it by faith. You know what? I love you. Say by faith. Okay, let me give you another scripture. Matthew 5:44. This is a sidebar of my message, but I thought it was important to say this. Some people, you know, get involved in too many crazy things. There's some people who like drama. And they find drama. They just have a way of just stirring things up and making trouble. But look at Matthew 5:44 says. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. This is pretty powerful. Bless those who curse you. I'm going to bless you, all right? See, it says, do good to those who what? Hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And the church says what?
Amen.
All right, let's get back to the message. Okay, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. This verse here talks about the law of seed time and harvest. Here in the scripture, God is introducing this law, at least laid in the New Testament, and he says this, and I want us to read it together. You ready? It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I'm going to get to the other half of the verse, but I want to talk a little bit about the word deception. This message here is so powerful because this message contains God's plan for you to succeed. This message contains God's plan for you to be financially successful. In this verse, the wealth that he wants you to have, the prosperity that he wants you to walk in, that he wants you to understand that through this, he's going to supply not some of your needs, but what? All of your needs. It is important that we embrace the word of God. And I'm jumping a little bit, but Jesus says this, man shall not live, but by every word that what? That proceeds out of the mouth of God. You must understand that there's only two messages that you can follow. There's only two messages. There's not three, there's not four, there's not seven. There's only two messages. There is God's word, and then there is Satan's word. At the very beginning of time, after God created Adam and Eve, and the devil isolated Eve, God had given Eve a message, but then what did the devil do? He came with his own message. And you know, we see these stories and we see them, you know, sort of animated in films or even in whatever things we read. But the bottom line is that what happened there happens to you all the time. As we're sitting in this room, some of you are debating whether to receive God's word or to receive another word. You're not going to call it satanic because you just wouldn't do that. But it doesn't matter what you call it. It's either God's word or it's satanic. There's only his message or the other guy's message. And so it's important. And so notice that with this message that's so important, he says, please don't allow yourself to be deceived. Deception means to believe a lie. When you believe a lie, it means that you're not going to get to the truth. When you believe a lie, it means that no matter what's going on, it's not going to go right for you. Because a lie, the Bible says that lies come from the enemy, from Satan, because he is the father of lies. And so it is absolutely important that at the very top of this message, God is saying, you know what? Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Believe what I'm telling you. And he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, every time that deception comes, it takes you away from the blessings of God. Whether you know it or not, there are people that sit in this room that continue to live in the same level. They don't go anywhere because of the fact that they constantly reject God's word. They won't say that they're accepting the devil's word, but there's only two ways you can go. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters at the same time. You can't serve God part-time. There is no such thing as part-time service to God. And so it's important to know. Jesus said this. As a matter of fact, as we look at the word deception, whenever deception takes place, it means that you're going to follow the advice of the enemy. You're not going to do the word of God. In Hosea 4:6, the scripture says, my people perish or are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In other words, if you don't know what God says, you're not going to be able to walk in what God says for you to do. So it's the same thing. And deception has the same end results. When deception happens, it means that you're not going to walk in the word of God. And when you're not walking in the word of God, you're not going to experience the blessings of God. In fact, turn to James chapter 1 and verse 22. Put that up for me. James chapter 1 and verse 22. I want us to read that together. Here's another scripture about deception. It says, but what? But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Notice. See, if you only listen to the word, but you don't plan to do it, look what the Bible says happens. Deceiving your own selves. So every time that you choose not to do what God says or to do it your way, you come into deception, and deception robs you of the promises of God. Now, God's message of seed time and harvest tells us that every seed, now go back to Galatians 6:7. In every seed that God has created, there is a harvest. Every seed that God creates has a harvest in it. Now, and so when Jesus was speaking of the seed time and harvest principle, he put it this way. He says, give and what? It will be given to you. Listen, let me break it up. Give is the seed. When you give, you are planting a seed. So listen to me. And so a tithe is a seed. You know, special giving is a seed. Whenever you give to God, you are planting a seed. Now, and in every seed, I don't care whether it's a small seed or a big seed, there is a harvest. There is a blessing from God for your life. There is a financial benefit that you are to derive. You see, it's important to understand that when you put the seed in, Jesus says, it will be given back to you. That's your harvest. In other words, give and it shall be given. In other words, so once you seed, then God will bring your harvest. And by the way, the harvest that God brings is no respect to person. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you live in the ghetto. I don't care if you live in the suburbs. If you seed, God is going to bless you. If you seed, you're going to see a harvest. And so, look at how Jesus describes the harvest. Jesus says the harvest is going to be what? Good measure. Say good measure. What else? Pressed down. What else? Shaken together. What else? And running over. And then the Bible says, look, it doesn't end. It says, will be put into your bosom. That means God is going to give you favor with people. I want you to know that if you are a seeder, you need to stand up and say, you know what, God? I know that you have blessed me. And on this job, no one is going to take me off this job. I don't care if there's a downturn. I don't care if the supervisor doesn't like me. Because if you place me here, nobody can move me from this place. And some of you walk around with fear. And that's the reason why you lose positions and you lose jobs. You shouldn't be walking in fear. God did not give you this spirit of fear. When you walk into a job that you know God has given you, you ought to straighten out your shoulders and put your head up high and say, you know what? I'm here. And as long as I'm here, and by the way, as long as I'm here, I'm going to thrive. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to have increases. Even if they say there's no increases, I'm trying to tell you that God can make a way when there is no way. And wherever God puts you, you prosper. You blossom. Wherever God puts you, you're going to grow. And I'm saying to you that if you will begin to do what God says, you will walk in divine prosperity. God's word alone has the power to set you up. See, listen to me. Jesus said this about the word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Come on, you ought to give God some praise for that. Now, go back to the Galatians 6:7. So it says what? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Read it. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, notice it says that what? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I had to give you the scripture. I want you to go to verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. If you guys get it, let me know. Okay. All right, ready? Okay. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Ready? It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Now, the Galatians 6, 7 says, "Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." So if you sow little, see, remember, it's still going to grow, but it's going to grow how? Little. Turn to someone and say, "I don't want little." Right? Now, it says, "And he who sows what? Bountifully will also reap bountifully." See, what I'm trying to do is give you an appetite for the good life. I want to give you an appetite for where God says you can be. See, it doesn't matter where you are right now. I don't care if you don't have a dime in the bank. I don't care if you're like really struggling. I just want to give you the message of God, that God today, not tomorrow, but from this very service, God can jump you to the next level of your financial strength. God wants to take you to, listen, it's God's will that, first of all, 3 John says, "I wish above all things that you would" what? "And be in as" what? And, you know, at some point, you have to hold God accountable to his word. That's what the Bible says in the book of Malachi. It says, "Prove," God tell him, "challenge me now and see if I will not" what? "Pour out to you a blessing that you'll have no room in which to conceive it." See, I believe the word of God. I told my wife the other day, I said, "Listen, by the end of this year, my mortgage will be paid." Amen. What did she do? She did like Sarah, I think Sarah did. She laughed at what God said. No. Right? See, but you know what, though? But I really believe that. Because here it is. This is what God told me. And we're doing this in prayer. Those of you who make prayer meeting, I thank God. Yesterday we had just a great turnout. Even on Saturday morning, people are coming. You're getting the message. And you know, and it says this, whatsoever you want when you pray, believe that you receive it, and what? And you shall have it. This is what God told me. And he didn't put limits to it. He did not put boundaries to it. So I don't know about you. You can go ahead and believe in little if you like, but I'm going to believe what Jesus told me to believe. Because right before that scripture, he says, "And you shall say to the mountain." I want you to know that a mountain is something that's insurmountable. It's something that is impossible. But God says, if you speak to the mountain and do not doubt in your heart, the mountain shall go into the sea and you shall receive the very thing that you ask God for. I'm trying to tell you that if you will begin to believe God this morning, you young people, you don't have to wait till you're 40 to have your first house. You can have your first house at 25 and 26. Why? Because the God you serve is a God that's great and mighty. He's a God of provision. He makes a way where there is no way. The Bible says he opens doors that are closed. He opens doors that man cannot open. And if God opens a door for you, I want you to know that you can stand there and nobody will be able to close it. All the devils in hell put together cannot close a door that God opens. That's how mighty and awesome the God you serve is. I want to elevate your thinking this morning. It's time for us to stop believing the other guy. He's called the devil. Jesus gave you the 411 on the devil. In John 10:10, he says, "The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But check this out. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly." Come on, give God another praise for that. Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. You don't have to wait to come into a season. Some of you are waiting to come into a season. But there's some season that you can thrust yourself into. You can thrust yourself into a season of overflow. You can thrust yourself into a season of abundance. You can thrust yourself into a season of supernatural increase. You know, sometimes God may have you wait a little. That's okay, because that's how God works. You know, the old timers used to say, God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. And I know that about God. I noticed when the children of Israel got to the, you know, God had released them from Egypt, and man, and and millions of them just came out of Egypt and they began to travel, and they were free, they were free, they were free. And not long after they left, and they had plunged the Egyptians, they took all their gold, they took all their silver, and they were on their way. And suddenly they came up to a Red Sea, and they came up to two mountains on each side, and Pharaoh behind them. Sometimes when you're in the will of God, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go perfectly as far as the natural mind is concerned. But you know that as far as God is concerned, that's a perfect plan. Do you understand that? It may not be perfect in our thinking, but according to God, it was a perfect plan. Because God is perfect. Can God do imperfection? No. So it had to be. So sometimes the will of God, as difficult as it is a perfect plan. And God, but you know what? The reason why it's a perfect plan, because while we see the Red Sea as a obstacle, and we see the mountains on both sides, you know, as impediments, God sees no obstacle. When you have faith, you see like God sees. God sees no impossibilities. That's why when Moses sent out those spies to check out the land, you know, 10 of them came back with what? A bad report. What did they see? They saw giants, they saw the devil, they saw everything. But the two that came back, Joshua and Caleb, what did they see? What did they say? They say, we are able to take the land. So they didn't see what the others saw. They saw what God says. God says in the word, just for us, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that means whatever challenge you're having, whatever thing you're going through, you need to know that in God there is no challenge. Because when God saw the Red Sea, he didn't see an obstacle. He saw a way for them to go. And the Bible says that when Pharaoh got close enough, I don't know why God does this sometimes, why he works things right to the very end. And when he was getting close enough, the Bible says that he decided to open up this Red Sea. And this sea that's just billions of pounds of water just split. And it must have been pretty high, because it wasn't like a lake. It wasn't like a pool. And so I could imagine how many thousands of feet in the air this water was physically sitting there, standing there. That's the power of God. The water froze in the direction that it was in and stood there. And listen, millions of people passed through. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, if they can do it, I can do it too. And the moment that him and his, you know, God is good too. God didn't do it right at the point that they got in. He waited till it got deep enough, and then he says, and the waters collapse again, and every single one of those people died. See, the point I'm making to you is that when you begin to live by the word of God will cause you to experience some extraordinary things. The word of God has power. The word of God has all kinds of things. You see, if you receive the word, the word will determine whether you will see the extraordinary or stay in the ordinary. Let me say it again. The word will determine if you will live in the extraordinary or stay in the ordinary. I don't know about you, but I want to go to the extraordinary. Let me give you a story in Matthew chapter, let me just find it. It's in Matthew chapter 14. It's a story of Jesus with his disciples. Jesus, in this passage, placed his disciples on a boat and told them to stay near the shore. You know, he told them that he wanted them right near the shore. And so, and because he was dealing with the multitudes, and so he says, you know what, while I take care of the multitudes, so he put all 12 disciples in there, and then he went back to deal with the multitudes, and eventually he sent the multitudes away. And then it says that after he sent the multitudes away, you know, rather than going back to the boat where he told them to wait for him, he decided to go into a mountain to pray. For those of you who have been coming to prayer meeting, this teaches you something about prayer. Prayer is so important that Jesus felt he needed to do it as many times as possible. And he was a son of God. And then the Bible says that after he finished praying, he went back to where the boat should have been parked. And when he got there, the boat had drifted into the middle of the sea. because he took so long to come. And then the Bible says that Jesus, rather than trying to hitch another boat to get to where his boat was, he decided to walk on water towards the boat. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He decided to walk on water. Do you know what it is to walk on water? No, you don't. And so he began to walk on water. And as he was approaching his boat, he saw Peter and the disciples, and he told them to come. By the way, he didn't just bid Peter to come. He really told all of them to come. But you know Peter, he was the one that always stood up like a sore thumb. And he says, Lord, if you ask me to come, notice he wanted a personal call. He said, I'll come. And Jesus spoke to him. And when he spoke to him, the Bible says that Peter heard it. Now, let me explain something about how we hear things. There are two entities within us that processes the word of God. It's either the spiritual man within you or the carnal man within you. In other words, the carnal man always processes everything through the head. In other words, what happens when the God's word comes, you can process it through your head or you can process it in your heart. Listen to me carefully. Listen, because if you miss this, you miss the whole thing. See, if what Peter did is that Peter could have processed this thing in his head or in his mind. You know, and if you process anything through your head or through your mind, you will lose your blessings, you will lose your miracle, you will not find your open door. And many of us are living outside of the open doors that God wants to give us because when he speaks, we process everything through our head. But your head will never receive the things of God. Your intellect will never receive the things of God. Your mind does not have the capacity to do that. And so it will always reject what God says. It will always question what God says. It will always tell you it's not going to work. That's what your head does. And so when God says, he says, bring the tithe into what? The storehouse. What does the devil say? Nah, nah. So what happens? So all of a sudden now, the windows of heaven are shut over your life. You know, when you live a mediocre life and then you want people to lay hands on you and, you know, and kind of go like this, shake you up a little bit and try to pray the blessing. Listen, it won't work. You see, the Bible says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. And God says, when you do that, I will open the windows of heaven and what? And I will pour you out a blessing that you'll have no room in which to receive. But listen to me. So the Bible says that what happened in this verse here is that in this message is that Peter, you know, had a choice of processing this message. But here's the thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says this. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Woo. The reason why you reject some truths, the reason why some people, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Doesn't God's word say that in Hebrews 10:25? And some people don't, they just forget that word. And the reason why is because you're processing it through your head. You're trying to deal with it in a way that it doesn't work. And so when the enemy comes in, what he tries for you to do is to process it through your head. But your head will never give God even a second. It cannot do it. Because it says here, because what God says is foolishness to it. I'm tithe. I can't even pay my bills. Now, do you not raise your hand, but has the devil ever told you that? Of course he's going to tell you that. See, and so what do? You believe the other guy. And what happens? You continue in the same spiral because one thing about the devil's message is that whatever he speaks is always a lie. And if you live a lie and walk in a lie, you're going to end up in the state of a lie. And so it's important. But the interesting thing about this is the Bible says, now you have to understand something too about Peter. Now, you know, Peter could have processed this in his head and could have said, walk on water. What do you think I am, a fool? What do you want to do? Kill me? No, that's what, if you process it in your head, this is what you're going to say. You say all these kind of crazy things, and so the Bible says that when Peter heard the message, he did not process it in his head. He processed it in his spirit. And the Bible says that the moment he heard God in his spirit, he got out of the boat. And guess what my boy did? He walked on water. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Now, that's an impossibility. Nobody can walk on water. Yes, you can when you listen to the word of God. If God says you can walk on water, you can walk on water. If God says you can walk on the moon, you can walk on the moon. As long as God said it, it is possible. And the Bible says that Peter did something extraordinary and received an extraordinary blessing because he listened to what God says. I want you to know that some of you are sitting here, you're on the verge of walking into an extraordinary blessing because of the seed you have listened to God to sow. And because you've sown the seed, you are going to go into supernatural increase. You're going to do something extraordinary. Something extraordinary is going to happen in your life because God never says something that he will not do. God is not a man that he should lie. Some of you have already started to experience the blessings of God, and you're only at the beginning. I know Shamar's raising her hand. You know why she's raising her hand? Because God already started something supernatural for her. And I'm trying to say to you that God is no respecter of person. As long as you trust God, as long as you give your seeds to God, every seed has a harvest. Every seed is going to explode. Listen to me. I want to give you another scripture in the book of Genesis, verses 8 and 22. Listen to this about a seed. You got it? It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, come on now, shall not cease. Some of you ought to be shouting because you're starting to get it. Let's go over it again. What does it say? While the earth remains, what? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. What do we know about day and night? It will never not happen. What do we know about cold and heat? You can't get rid of it. What do we know about, especially this year, we can't get rid of cold. You heard about the snowstorm that's coming? And we're in spring going on to summer. All right. And so what do we know about winter and summer? And so notice that God equates seed time and harvest with what? Day and night. What do you know about day and night? You don't have to wonder if day and night is going to come. You just have to live and wait on it, and before you know it, it's going to come. Well, God says when you plant a seed, all you have to do is wait and know that the harvest is coming. You ought to give God a praise over this one. Listen to me. It is guaranteed. God says that while the earth remains, these things. Now, I want you to turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. I just want you to know that God is in the seed business. Turn to someone and say, God is in the seed business. See, listen to me. I know that the reason why my wife and I experienced some real amazing blessings in our early years, like in our early 30s. Now you're going to say, well, if he's in his early 30s, what was that? Where is he at now? tell me, I see that. Yeah, but listen to me. And, you know, and God blessed us, and he gave us a house, and from that house, we got another house and another. You know, it's amazing. And she was a tither when I met her, you know, and a giver, and so was I. But the point I want to make to you, and on top of that, we planted seeds. She gave seeds, I gave seeds, you know, because I want you to know that if you begin to do things God's way, God's law of seed time and harvest is going to overtake you. The Bible says the blessings of God are going to overtake you, and you're going to experience great things. Now, listen to this. Look what it says here in this scripture. Now, let's read it together. And I want you to notice here that God is talking about something that's the seed time and harvest plan. He says, now may he who, come on, read, who supplies seeds to the sower. First of all, people who don't sow never have seed. Every church I go to, every pastor I'm associated, the people who struggle with seeds always struggle with seeds. they never have seed. Now, it's not that God didn't give them a seed. It's that they decided not to sow the seed. But the Bible says God supplies seed to the sower. Read a little bit more. And what else? And bread for food. Here is the problem. See, God supplies the seed. But some people are so greedy that they eat the seed. He provided the food. Remember, it says, and he provides food. The food is for eating and the seed is for sowing. But they eat their seed. And then they wonder why there is no supernatural increase. There is no overflow. There is no abundance. There is none of those things because you ate your seed. The thing about that seed, if you sow it in your stomach, it won't grow. There is a place that you have to sow seed. You know, if you decide to take an apple seed and put it in this carpet, there is a place you have to sow it. And so what happens is that many people take their seed and they pay their bills with it. It don't grow there either. As a matter of fact, next month you'll be further behind. And before you know it, they'll be knocking on your door with more and more, challenges of collection. I want you to know that a seed has to, when God gives you a seed, he wants you to sow it into the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, it has the greatest potential to grow. And whenever God says you have a seed and you sow it, it's going to do something special. Let me just say something to you about a seed. Every seed has a harvest. Every seed has a supernatural blessing of increase. And so you young people here who are planting seeds at your age, I want you to know that you can look forward for a great life in God. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. Now, I want you to do this. Those of you, I know some of you gave your seed already, but I want you to take an envelope as a symbol, okay? Take the envelope, any envelope, and I want you to write your seed on there, whatever your seed was or whatever your seed is going to be. You know, we have until the end of this month to do it. Because we're going to do something very symbolic with it. Okay, now. The seed that God gives us leaves our hands, but does not leave our life. It goes into our future, and there it multiplies. Look at go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2. Listen to this. Let's read together. And all these blessings, read it, shall come upon you and what? And overtake you. What did God says? And all these blessings. What you have to do to know what these are, you have to go back in the chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and read all the things that God said he would do. See, I want you to know, God says you're gonna have houses that you did not build. You're going to have farmland that you did not plant. You're going to have blessings coming from places that you could not imagine. I'm just trying to explain to you that when you look at the scripture and see some of the things that God did. See, God has the power to multiply. The Bible says that when the little boy gave him the two loaves of bread and the five fish, the Bible says that he took that thing and instead of a little boy's lunch, it became a whole community. Over 5,000 people, not counting women and children. And listen to me, I'm trying to say to you, God has the same power of multiplication. The Bible says that when that little widow woman took the little flour and the little oil that she had and she gave it to the prophet, the Bible says that that flour and that little bit of oil, it lasted for 3 years plus. It never went down. It never dried out. And you say, how come? Because when God touches something, as long as he touches it, it continues to be blessed. Listen, the Bible says, whom God blesses, no man can curse you. So when you have people within your family who say, you know, I'm going to put voodoo on you. You say, you can put any voodoo you want because nothing you do to me can hurt me. Because if God blesses me, no one can curse me. And you ought not to be sleeping in fear with blankets and pillows and stuff, kind of wondering what's going to happen. You ought to be saying, devil, you're a liar. Get out of here. Because you have, listen, greater is he that is in you. Come on, devil. Come on and try what you got to try. Because the God that's in me is far superior to all the devils. Listen, all the devils put together cannot bring you down. All your enemies who try to fight you put together cannot bring you down. Because if God is for me, then who can be against me? I'm trying to tell you who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, and on top of that, when you plant seed, God says, I'm going to cause the blessing to overtake you. Now, listen to me. It's important to understand that sometimes when you are in the zone of God, instead of you looking for a promotion is going to come to you. I mean, instead of you trying to find something, that thing is going to find you. Because the Bible says that the ways of God are far. You cannot figure God out. God can do exceedingly, and he can do abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. That's how great the God you are is. Now, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:12, don't turn to it. I'm just going to. It says, the Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heaven, to give you the rain to your in your land and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend. Oh, come on now. You shall lend. What the Bible says, you shall lend and not borrow. I'm trying to tell you that this is where God wants to take you to. And so you're sitting here, and listen, and I happen to know some of the situations here in our church, and I pray and I say, God, you know, let your people get the message. Because, you know, someone can help you out for a week or two, and that's as far as they go. But if God blesses you, it's for a lifetime. And the seed you give to God is sealed by his eternal word. Every time that I plant a seed, I'm going to receive a harvest. Give and it shall be given to you. And I'm going to give you a harvest that's going to be pressed down. There's some of you who are locked into jobs, you know, that you got into and it's not really a good situation. See, and what you're doing is you're looking at that job and trying to figure out how you're going to get out of it. Your job is to look beyond the job. Look onto the hills from whence cometh your help. Because your help is about to come from the Lord. And God doesn't need your supervisor. He doesn't need the job you're working on. All you have to do is trust in the Lord your God. And he will give you what nobody else can give you. He will do what no other power can do. He will open what nobody else can open. Because that's the God that he is. He's a mighty God. Someone say he's an awesome God. He's incredible, indescribable. I think we were singing that this morning. And so this morning, I want you to know that it's time for you to stop thinking about left, right, or center. Look to Jesus. Look to God and says, God, here is my seat. Where's your seat? Do your seat like this. Say, God, this is my seat. Say, this is my seat. Say, devil, this is my seat. That's why I said I want you to do this. Because you see, I need you to have something to begin to use as a means of understanding that as simple as your seed is, the seed doesn't work because of the seed. It works because God is in the seed. Oh, man, come on. Listen to me. I don't care if you're holding $1,000 or $500 or $100. The $100 has no magic in it. Some person who doesn't serve God can take that same $100 and do what you do. And guess what? Nothing is going to happen because there's no magic in the $100. As a matter of fact, have you ever noticed when you break $100 how fast it goes? And some of you try not to break it because once you break it, you know it's over. Gone. Right? You see, but this is it. But when that $100 reaches God, reaches the hand of God, the kingdom of God, all of a sudden, explosive things start to happen. When Peter listened to what Jesus said, he did extraordinary. Extraordinary things started to happen. And I'm trying to say to you that when I say God is going to bless you, I don't just mean in terms of a promotion and even an increase in salary. Whatever he's going to do is going to be extraordinary. You're going to come back and says, oh my God. God, I could not believe what God did for me. That's when you know God has done it. If it's ordinary, God doesn't do it. If it's extraordinary, God does it. It's time for you to stop believing for the ordinary and start believing for the extraordinary, because that's where God wants to take you. He wants you to be above and not beneath. He wants you to be first and not last. It's the will of God. In closing, I want us to read three scriptures. I want you to read three scriptures. One is found in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 5, and the other one is Psalms chapter 50, verse 14. I want you to see what my role is as a pastor, what I'm supposed to do. Now, we basically have no seats here, almost no seats except for a couple of seats here, and we have the children back there and so on. I just want you to know this, that in 2 Chronicles, I think 20:20, it says, believe in God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. You got that one? Believe in God and you shall be what? But believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. Listen to me. You know why that little woman in 1 Kings chapter 17 ended up prospering? Because she finally, after going through some challenges, decided that she was going to do what the prophet told her. The interesting thing about seeds is that that's called a designated seed. A designated seed is when God challenges you and tells you what he's going to do based on that seed. Peter's seed, when he gave Jesus the boat, Jesus didn't tell him, well, I'm going to bless you for it. He just said, Peter, I want your boat. And so they're both seeds, but one is called a designated seed, and one is just a seed. But you see, whether it's a designated seed or just a seed, it doesn't really matter, because as long as the earth remains, for every seed time, there's going to be what? Harvest time. The only thing, reason I'm only bringing a distinction is because in January when I spoke to you, I said to you that this seed is a designated seed. And God is going to bring specific things. And there are specific things that have already started to happen to people here in our church. There are just so many testimonies, we don't have the time for you to hear them all. But I'm going to try to find a way to let you hear what God has done since January. What things he's worked out for certain people. What blessings he has brought upon them. Supernaturally, may I say. And so the point I'm making here is that whenever you give God a seed, it's going to bring you a harvest. Turn to your neighbor and says, your seed is going to bring you a harvest. There is, and listen to me, and in every seed, there is something supernatural that God is going to do. And when he does it, he's going to do it the way he does it. He's going to do it by the work of his hands. You see, the Bible says God is going to open up the treasures of his heaven. I want you to know that God is not going to... See, the Bible says that God is going to cause men to pour into your bosom. It means that somebody that might have something, someone that has the authority to hire you, he's going to cause them to say, even though they were planning not to hire you, they have no choice. God says that person is going to be hired. Listen to me. And so the Bible said God is going to cause men to pour into your bosom. Some of you are involved in business and some of you are involved in certain things. I want you to know God is going to give some of you connections that's going to take you to the next level of the business that you're in. Some of you, your businesses are going to, something is going to click on the internet and someone is going to see what you're doing and all of a sudden it's going to go viral. And before you know it, there you are. You're wealthy and you're rich. Because I want you to know that God's will for us is that we prosper. Psalms 35:27 that says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So that means that God wants you to what? To prosper, right? Okay, now, let's read these scriptures. Psalms 50 and verse 5. Let's read it together. It says what? Gather my saints together to me. This is what I did for you in January. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Listen to me. Any sacrifice you give to God, trust me, it's worth the sacrifice. Because when it's over, what you gave won't be a sacrifice anymore. It'll just be a token. Because the Bible says that God will multiply what you're giving to him. The Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will the blessing be. Now, let's go to verse 14. Okay, listen to this. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. One last scripture. And that is Psalms 112, verses 1 to 3. Are you ready? Psalms 112, verses 1 to 3. Make sure, okay, that's the right one. Okay, ready? Let's go. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Let me just say this, right? There's no scripture that says that God is going to make you wealthy if you don't do this. There's no scripture. In other words, Jesus' version of this scripture is Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, continue. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You know, as I look at myself, I always say this. I know that part of the reason why I'm blessed the way I am is because my mother was a woman of God. Served the Lord, taught us how to serve the Lord, brought us to church every Sunday. I mean, did all these things that sometimes we didn't want to do, but we had to do it anyway, because back then you don't say no. You just go. And you know what? And today I am part of the generation of the upright. And that's the reason, those of you who have children and you don't tithe, boy, are you doing such a disservice for your children. That's why the enemy comes in and there is no protection. The Bible says that when we tithe unto the Lord, God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. When he comes to the east side, God is going to stand there. When he comes to the west side, let me say something to you. You are no match for the devil all by yourself, because the devil will, you might be looking this way and he's going to come from the back. And when you turn, he's going to be on the other side. But when God is about you, his favor surrounds you like a shield. And it doesn't matter where the devil is coming from. God is there with angels, with swords of fire, and saying, no, you can't. Not this one. This one belongs to me. This is the child of the living God. You will not hurt my child. Will not hurt this vessel, because of the fact that God is with us. God is with us. Let's continue. Wealth. Some of you don't even know how to say the word. Wealth and riches will be in his house. See something? That's why I told my wife, I said, listen, this mortgage is going to be paid. I'm not wondering about how it's going to be paid. That's not my responsibility. And when I plant the seeds that I do, when I plant the seeds, I usually, even on my tithe, I always put seed on it. Where it says tithe, I put seed. You know why? Because it is a seed. And you have to see it as a seed. And you have to know what kind of seeds you're planting. And so, and it says, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, I want you to take your tithe envelope and we're going to read a confession. You got a confession? This one is good. All right. So I don't want you to take your tithe. Just take the one that you did symbolically, because some of you already gave the seed already. Some of you are going to give it between now and next Sunday. But I just want you to, I want you to make a confession, because I want you to understand that, by the way, every seed that you give to God will grow. So, and by the way, you see, let me explain something about seeds. The Bible says when we give according to the measure that he has blessed you. So seeds are not intended to be equal, because to whom much is given, much is required. If you don't have much, you can't give much. And so, but in order for you to get to the point, but God's will is for you to, I gave you the scripture that says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Where does God want you to be? In the sparing category or the bountiful? You see, but you got to get there. You got to get there with the seeds. And by the way, let me say something to you. That's why, you know, like sometimes ministers come and they take up a seed. Listen, I don't care if 10 ministers come and take up a seed. You know what your attitude should be? God says this about giving. God loves a cheerful giver. If he's blessing you, you have no problems. You know who have the problems? The ones who don't give in the first place. They're the ones who begin to complain. I was reading this story about a little boy who went to church with his mom. And when the offering came, he saw her sneak a penny into the offering. And on the way home, she was complaining about God and, you know, how things are not working out and da-da-da, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, but mommy, what do you expect for a penny? And you know what? Sounds funny, but a lot of people in church do it. They give the least they can give. They give hardly anything and expect supernatural increase. It ain't going to happen. But here's what God says. If you will give your seed in faith, because by the way, what that lady gave in the book of First Kings, that was what she gave was kind of little. It was little in the sense of its worth, but it was big in the sense of the sacrifice. You follow me? And that's why, even though what she gave wasn't as big as what Solomon gave, yet the blessing was the same in terms of the magnitude. Because the blessings of the Lord makes rich, and it adds no sorrow. Okay, let's read this. Lord, come on, take your seat now. This is why I told you to do this. Lord, here is my seed. I now sow it to you by giving it to your church, which is a part of your kingdom. This seed cannot miss. This seed cannot fail. It is backed up by your word, your eternal word. Based upon your promise, I receive now my harvest, my wealth, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's it? Oh, and I receive my abundance, my overflow, my supernatural increase in Jesus' name. Come on and give God a hand clap now. Let's bow our heads for a moment.